All right. Thank you very much, Don. And Ron, one of the things that gives me joy is listening to you. I really love listening to you. I'm sure that's true of everybody who listens to you. I'm sure they would all agree. I am here now for Nisargadatta, and I seem to be going through this book, Consciousness and the Absolute. And tonight I'm beginning with the message on December 8th, 1980. So here we go. I am talking about the consciousness which works through this body at the moment, but which is not visible. This consciousness is not limited to the body, but is universal consciousness. I can't speak of anything else now. A person who is already dead is not worried about anything. Whether the people like it or not doesn't matter. Perhaps you may be getting some blessings, some benefits from listening to my talks. I don't know. So when Nisargadatta says a person who is already dead is not worried about anything, he's not talking about the physical death of the body, of course. He's talking about the ego death. So, you know, what I don't know is if this is an abbreviated conversation. I almost get the feeling it is, like there was something that was said before this, before he began talking. But it seems like he's responding to people who might be displeased with his teaching. And I have heard people say that Nisargadatta's teaching in I Am That was very good. And then after that, he went downhill, and that his last teachings were nothing. Funny, I feel exactly the opposite. I really enjoy these last teachings, and I couldn't make myself continue teaching I Am That. But I suppose if you're really interested in metaphysics, and you know, if the mind still wants to be entertained by spirituality, I would imagine that I Am That is much more interesting. If you're really just seeking truth, which is also seeking death of the ego, then this very simple, very consistent, very repetitive, because this book is very repetitive, a very consistent, repetitive book is much more interesting because you just keep feeding yourself the one meal that you really want. But maybe some people want variety, right? They don't want to eat the same meal every day. And so they might be more interested than I am that. But here he seems to be explaining why, if you come to my place, you're going to get the same meal every day. He says, I'm talking about the consciousness which works through this body at the moment, but which is not visible. This consciousness is not limited to the body, but is universal consciousness. And then he says, I can't speak of anything else now. You see? Yeah, so there's only one meal being served here. You know, I can't speak of anything else now. A person who is already dead is not worried about anything, and which means, as we'll go on to see, which means I'm not even worried about whether you like my teaching or not. Like, you know, I'm not worried if you enjoy this one meal that I'm passing out, right? A person who is already dead is not worried about anything. Whether the people like it or not doesn't matter. Perhaps you may be getting some blessings, some benefits from listening to my talks. I don't know. All my actions are the actions of universal consciousness, appearing to work through this body. I do not remember something from the past and then act. It is all action in the now. Questioner, where does consciousness come from? Nisargadatta, it never comes or goes. It just appears to have come. Questioner, Why does Maharaj know this and we do not? Nisargadatta, it is not difficult for you to know also, but with what identity are you asking? Now that's an excellent question, although I don't know again if the questioner will, I mean, that's an excellent answer, although I don't know for sure if the questioner will know that it's an excellent answer. But when the questioner says, why does Maharaj know this and we do not? Nisargadatta says, it's not difficult for you to know also, but with what identity are you asking? You know, in order to know what Nisargadatta knows, we have to shift into that awareness of ourself and everything as consciousness. The moment you shift into that, you know everything he knows. But if you don't shift into that, if you stay identified with the mind, then you appear not to know what he knows, and now you have to ask this great master questions. So it's really a perfect answer because it's pointing to the only thing you need to do is shift into your awareness of consciousness, which is actually quite simple. So why does Maharaj know this and we do not? Nisargadatta, it is not difficult for you to know also, but with what identity are you asking? The questioner says, it is karmic. Can karma be changed? Nisargadatta says, it is all consciousness working, not this one or that one working. It is all consciousness. Now, I missed the first part of Ron's sharing because today's the day that my mom arrived in La Vida. It's her first day in her new house. And, you know, I was walking around with her and sharing in her excitement and teaching her things I've learned about the house. And so I didn't get here on time to hear the whole thing. So I only heard the last part of it. And when you only hear the last part of something, you know, you kind of jump in the middle. You don't really know if you're hearing correctly because your mind is figuring out what's going on. But what I thought I heard Ron talking about when I came in was maybe when you're experiencing resistance to practice. I heard him talking about being willing to be willing. Sometimes you have to be willing to be willing, etc. And then he asked us, you know, what do we do? The question had something about the word vigilance in it. Do you remember your exact question, Ron? Shauna answered it.
Persistence. Persistence. You know, how is it, you know, what do you do to persist on to keep that one foot moving in front of the other?
Okay, so the answer, I actually just typed my answer in, and one reason I typed it in is because I wasn't confident that I really understood what was going on, so I didn't want to take the mic and be off base. But I typed in that my answer was self-forgiveness and trust that all is well. So if I have a period where I appear not to be meditating and contemplating the way I do when I'm on a roll, you know, when I'm not on a roll, right? The way I deal with that is self-forgiveness. I don't judge myself for it. And I trust that all is well. And what I mean by trusting that all is well is that I trust, here's what Nisargadatta just said, it is all consciousness working. So I trust that this few days that I'm not on a roll, not sitting down and contemplating and meditating in the way that I typically do, I trust that as consciousness too. And I'm not saying that in an excuse kind of way, because I know that that could be used as an excuse, right? Well, it's consciousness. Because the truth is, at least with Regina, if I'm not sitting down and contemplating and meditating, it's kind of like life isn't letting me. You know, the family's around and we're getting up early and going somewhere or doing something. And, you know, in order for me to, I mean, maybe I could have got up at 3 a.m. and done it. But I don't know if I would. Yeah, see, everybody else knows that's not going to happen. So it's almost like life is not giving me that space. And so what I do is I forgive myself, you know, and trust that this is consciousness at work. Like when consciousness gives me the space, I take the space. I never don't take the space when it's given to me. And if consciousness isn't giving me the space, well, then that's got to be perfect too. And that's really what I see Nisargadatta saying here. It is all consciousness working, not this one or that one working. It is all consciousness. So, you know, there's me, Nisargadatta, the apparent master, and you, whoever you are, the apparent student. But this appearance of master and this appearance of student is still both consciousness doing its thing right now. It's doing its thing as master here, and it's doing its thing as student there. Really, all is well. You know, I remember Eli Ruzdar used to talk about people who weren't really ready for awakening, even if they're on the spiritual path. It really was still more at the spiritual ego level. And what she talked about was, you know, that's okay. Consciousness just isn't ready to awaken in that body yet, right? That's what consciousness is doing in that body. Consciousness is playing that game of spiritual ego, you know, being interested in yoga and crystals and, you know, and, you know, whatever else. So, yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about that. You know, maybe I do have one more thing to say about that. I seem to live now with an ongoing inherent trust that everything is perfect all the time, no matter what it looks like. And the reason everything is perfect all the time is because it's all consciousness. I remember when I was writing NTI Jude. I need to get a copy of NTI here in La Vida. Every time I want to go and grab my book, it's like in Pueblo. I can't reach out and grab it. But I remember when I was writing NTI Jude, NTI Jude was talking about how it's all one. And there's this one line in NTI Jude that says something like, nothing is ever out of whack. Nothing is ever out of whack. And at that time, I had this strong grievance against a particular teacher who I felt at that time had betrayed me and was betraying many others. And here I am writing, nothing is ever out of whack. But what I'm thinking is, how in the heck can that be true? You know, you've got this guy, you know, saying that he's enlightened, taking advantage of all of these people and betraying all of these people. You know, so I wrote the words that I heard. I was a good scribe in that way. I didn't always believe the words that I heard. And I didn't believe that nothing is ever out of whack, because to me, I could see something that's completely out of whack here. Like this, this can't be aligned with God, you know? But my seeing has changed. You know, now I really have this consistent, ongoing, I don't know if you call it trust, I'll call it trust slash knowledge. I don't know which one it is. It's kind of like on the line in between the two. That everything is perfect, no matter what it looks like, because it's really important to listen to this, because it's all consciousness. Right? That's why it's all perfect. It's all consciousness. So again, Nisargadatta says, it is all consciousness working. Not this one or that one working. You know, like not Nisargadatta and the student working. It is all consciousness, no matter what it looks like. Not just the awakened one is consciousness, right? That was another thing I used to not understand, is when people would say, well, when you're enlightened, you can see that everyone's enlightened. I'm like, how could that be? Because you're enlightened. I would imagine that you can really see all the people that aren't enlightened. but what happens is you see consciousness in motion. And then that way you don't see any unenlightened people. You see the play of ignorance, but it's all consciousness in motion, and it's all perfect. So again, it is all consciousness working, not this one or that one working. It is all consciousness. So the questioner says, can Maharaj, out of compassion, give me a push into the state of universal consciousness? Nisargadatta says, yes, of course, I can do that. But you must listen to me. You must have complete faith in whatever I tell you about yourself. And you must behave accordingly. There is nothing like an honest student. And what I mean by an honest student is a person who really does want to awaken and who is absolutely willing for the teacher to point out whatever she needs to point out and who hears that without any defensiveness and takes everything the teacher says and puts it into practice. There's nothing in the whole wide world like that. That's maybe the most beautiful thing in the whole wide world. And it's extremely rare. You know, most people want to cling to their illusions. So this is what Nisargadatta is saying. Yes, of course, you know, I can give you a little push, but you have to listen to me. You know, you have to have complete faith in whatever I tell you about yourself. Listen to that. You have to have complete faith. You have to trust me more than you trust yourself. Now, maybe not, where I got a little lucky was that I had an inner teacher, not an outer teacher. But one thing I assure you I did was I trusted my inner teacher more than I trusted myself. I never, ever would have made it if I hadn't done that. You will be surprised what someone with sight can see about you that you can't see. Whether that's an inner teacher or an outer teacher, because the inner teacher and the outer teacher are ultimately the same consciousness, the same seeing. It really doesn't matter as long as you're speaking to clarity, whether it's clarity inside or clarity that seems to be outside in another form is 100% irrelevant. It's the clarity that's important. You would be amazed what clarity can see in you. Clarity without any judgment. And see exactly what you're clinging to that's holding on to your ego. And can tell you exactly what you need to do to let go. The problem is, almost nobody wants to hear that. That's the problem. So yes, of course, I can do that, but you must listen to me. You must have complete faith in whatever I tell you about yourself, and you must behave accordingly, right? And you have to take that, and you know, and if I recommend that you let go of a particular habit, or I recommend that you spend your time in a particular way, you need to do it. And we all know Nisargadatta isn't dishing out any advice that he didn't take himself as a student. This is exactly what he did with his teacher. He took every word that his teacher said very seriously, and he immediately changed his entire life. He had complete faith in his teacher, and he changed his entire life to behave accordingly. And in fact, he's even told us his teacher died, you know, shortly after he met him, and it didn't even matter. He still followed his advice. Nisargadatta, I had mentioned that the inner teacher and the outer teacher, really, if it's clarity, they're no different. It doesn't really matter at all whether you're listening to an inner teacher or an outer teacher, just so you're listening to true clarity. Nisargadatta says, by nature, I am non-manifest. Yet I am manifested, but I am really not manifested. How's that for a confusing sentence? By nature, I am non-manifest. Yet I am manifested, but I am really not manifested. You know, like this appearance is here. This appearance is here. But it's not what I am. It's not believed to be what I am. This is clearly a temporary shell, a temporary appearance. And it's clearly going to be laid down. So by nature, I'm not manifest. I appear manifest, but I'm not really manifest. Because if I was really manifest, then I would really be this. Right? And then he says, can you live like that as the non-manifest? Now, can you live like that as the non-manifest? And it kind of reminds me of something from today's Tao Te Ching sharing about taking everything lightly. You know, living by the rules of the game, playing by the rules of the game, but taking everything lightly. One thing that keeps showing up in my own seven steps journaling a lot lately is about remembering to stay in the audience and not to ever run up on stage. Not to ever run up on stage. Now, what's really interesting about that, because again, if you look at this sentence, by nature, I am not manifest, yet I am manifested, but I am really not manifested. I mean, that's kind of like saying, by nature, I am not on the stage of the world, yet I am on the stage of the world, but I'm not really on the stage of the world. You see, that's all true at the same time. I mean, aren't I sitting here in a chair, in a room, talking to people, reading a book? I mean, that's all kind of on stage. And yet I'm not on stage. Right? And yet I'm in the audience. And then he says, can you live like that? It's that balance we talked about today in the Tao Te Ching teaching. That's exactly what that was, which I said was such a profound verse. Can you live like that? By nature, I am not in the world. Yet I am in the world, but I'm not really in the world. Right? The way we usually say that is to be in the world, but not of the world. Right? Can you live like that? So this is the specific instruction that he's giving to this specific person, but I think this is guidance that we could all take. I think this would apply to every seeker. Can you never run up on stage? Never take over the role of your character? Never try and control things? Can you always stay in the audience? Yes, Jacqueline.
I get rattled because habitual stuff comes through, and it like kind of smacks you off, for me, smacks me off course, and it takes a while to pick up and, you know, and dust yourself off and get back on the beam. So I don't know if you want to speak to that.
First of all, I just want to know if you had a date tonight, because you look lovely.
Oh, thank you. So this is my hair needing washing and my plain clothes.
It looks like you have on a cocktail dress and your hair's all...
No. But thanks for asking.
I would call that the transition. You know, I went through that transition too. And of course, I occasionally still slip, you know. So it takes practice to stay in the audience, and it's an accidental habit where you run up on stage. But what happens is you catch yourself faster and faster, right? You see it more and more clearly. That's a part of the transition. And it's like I said today in the Tao teaching, you know, none of us are perfect. I would really, really, really dislike for somebody to be around me all the time and expect me to be perfect, because I know for a fact I would disappoint them, right? And I imagine that's true of anybody. Pick anybody. Adya Shanti, Muji, pick anybody. Byron Katie. You know, it's just one of the greatest errors we make is expecting someone to be perfect. But at the same time, like I said today, that you aspire for perfection. You know, you don't aspire to make mistakes. Right? All right. Yeah, you're all laughing. That's ridiculous. You forgive yourself when you make mistakes, and you pick yourself up and you dust yourself off as soon as possible. But you always aspire for that perfection. You aspire to be the one that always stays in the audience, even if you accidentally every now and then run up on stage. And I think that, you know, genuine aspiration, you know, which is going to include dusting yourself off and getting back in the audience as soon as possible, that's perfect, right? So by nature, I am not manifest, yet I am manifest, but I am really not manifested. Can you live like that as the non-manifest? As long as the attribute is there, the quality of the attribute, the I am, is there. Therefore, I can speak like this. If it goes away, what happens? The sense of I has come and has gone. That is all. I am not going to die. One who has rejected this identity will understand. So he's saying that this sense of I comes and goes, but the true I is consistent, right? And, you know, I have to quit in a moment, but last night in Gentle Healing 3, I talked about the ego sense, which I think really, from my chair, it looked like it confused a lot of people. But one really nice thing about becoming aware of your ego sense, the sense of who you are, is because then you can watch it instead of being it. You notice it. You see it. You know, and sometimes I talk about Regina, and I'm not doing it to be weird. I would never do anything to be weird or to impress anybody. I'm doing it because that's the genuine experience. The genuine experience is observing Regina. And so I talk about Regina. And when you can do that, when you have that actual experience, it's not me, it's Regina, you're in the audience. Right? So I'm going to have to stop there. We did not finish this. So we'll begin. Ron, do you want to do this next week? I won't be here. Do you want to finish this message? You don't have to.
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, so next week, you will begin on page 22.
Got it. Marking it now.
Yeah, and it says, the question is, Maharaj said that he is not going to die. That will be the opening question. And okay. And Don, I will make a post and save it as a draft. So next week, you can just put the audio in that post. So I'll be making two posts tonight, one for tonight and one for next week. All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.